just saying words, but would actually follow through with their plan. If it was up to her, the answer would be yes. The dog agility class was more than a little intimidating. The equipment at the obedience school was a lot more heavy-duty than the used stuff Becca had bought, and the course was laid out differently. Becca had watched a few YouTube videos and done some reading, but still hadn't been able to figure out the best way to use her equipment. She hoped the class would help her with that. There were 8 other dog owners, most of them way older than her. She noticed a teenager about her age and walked over to her. The petite blonde smiled. "Hi, I'm Shara."
"Becca, this is Jazz."
"Hi, Jazz." Shara patted the black-and-white border collie at her side. "This is Ivan." He was a handsome dog with 1 blue eye and 1 brown eye. Becca kept her grip on Jazz's leash as the 2 dogs sniffed each other's butts and seemed to get acquainted.
"Is this your first agility class?"
Shara asked.
"Uh-huh.
I don't know much about it, but I wanted to do something Jazz would like. She's happier when she's busy."
"My aunt is seriously into it," Shara admitted. "She competes in everything. I took one of her older dogs to a couple of competitions, and it was fun."
She sighed. "My mom raises Yorkies. The house is filled with moms and dads and puppies all the time. We have to socialize them, and I know it sounds fun, but it gets to be a drag. I've been asking for a big dog, and finally they agreed."
She patted Ivan again.
"He's stubborn, but really smart."
Becca tried to picture Ivan with tiny Yorkie puppies underfoot and couldn't.
"He does okay with the babies?"
Shara laughed.
"Border collies are herding animals. He's great with them. As soon as they're old enough to start exploring, he goes on duty to keep them safe. The moms totally trust him to handle things while they take a nap. It's pretty funny."
Shara looked at the layout, then back at Becca.
"I'm saving to get a few things for the backyard so I can train Ivan at home."
"I bought some used equipment a couple of weeks ago," Becca said.
"I'm still figuring it out. You can bring Ivan over if you want to practice together."
"That would be great.
You know, we're really too old to start competing at the junior level. There are seriously little kids out there with their dogs, but I'm still looking forward to trying."
"Me too."
The class began. The instructor took them through the weave poles and the teeter-totter. Jazz was familiar with both and took her turn quickly and easily. Becca picked up a few tips for training Jazz and met a few more of the dog owners. Everyone was nice and friendly. When the corgi mix bolted, Shara sent Ivan after him. Becca couldn't believe how Ivan got in front of the corgi and herded him back to his owner.
"How did you do that?"
Shara grinned. "Last summer my folks sent me to a cattle ranch where they trained dogs and their owners to herd. Ivan loved it, and I got to hang out with cute cowboys." They exchanged numbers and agreed to get together to practice in a couple of days. Becca was just about to start the walk home when Ashton pulled up and called out.
"Hey, gorgeous."
Becca blushed as she waved.
Shara sighed. "Is that your boyfriend? He's totally hot. Seriously hot."
She grinned.
"Sorry. I don't mean anything by that. It's just how I talk."
Becca laughed. "It's okay. Ashton is kind of hot and sweet and affectionate and just good to her." She introduced Shara and Ivan before they left, then opened the back door for Jazz and slid in next to Ashton.
"Did I know you were going to stop by?"
she asked after he'd kissed her.
"I'm a surprise."
"Yes, you are."
"How was class?"
he asked. "Really good. I met Shara and Ivan, of course, and we learned a lot. Jazz was an excellent student, weren't you, sweet girl?" Jazz barked in agreement. "Shara and I are going to practice together, and there's a beginner's competition in August the instructor thinks we should sign up for."
"Are you going to?"
"Yeah. It's scary to think about, but why not? It'll be good for us." He chuckled.
"I'm glad the competition is in August so I can be there."
Right, because he was leaving for MIT in early September and would be gone forever.
"Don't,"
Ashton said quietly as he pulled up at a red light.
"It will go fast."
"What?"
"The time I'm at college. One of the reasons I'm working as many hours as I can is to save enough money to fly home for Thanksgiving."
He shrugged.
"Christmas makes sense. It's a longer break, and I'm sure Stacy and Kit plan to send me a ticket. But Thanksgiving is different."
She felt that if she weren't held in by her seatbelt, she might float away. Happiness and hope and love all made her weightless.
"To, see me?"
she asked cautiously. He reached for her hand.
"Yes, Becca, to see you."
She wanted to ask how much he cared about her and if he'd had other girlfriends he'd liked more and where he saw them in 2 years and if there were other good colleges by MIT because maybe she could apply there, but instead she told herself to breathe and enjoy the moment. They arrived home far too quickly. As Ashton pulled up in front of the house, Becca saw a familiar car in the driveway. She knew her mom was gone and Dean didn't work on weekends, so her dad had no way to get in the house. She wondered how long he'd been waiting and what he could possibly have to say to her.
"Who's that?" Ashton asked.
"My father."
"You don't look happy."
"I'm not." Chapter 28 Becca thought maybe she should explain her reaction to Ashton, then told herself it didn't matter. He, of all people, would understand why she could never be sure what to expect from her father. He said all the right things, but when it came to showing up, he didn't. All three of them got out of their cars at the same time. Becca walked toward the porch, letting her dad come to her. Ashton was right beside her, as was Jazz. The Doberman kept glancing at Terrence as he approached, as if ready to protect her pack from the man who had been so sick on the drive to Mischief Bay.
"Hey, Becca," her dad said as he got closer. "I was hoping to catch you."
"Why?" Only she didn't ask the question, in part because it was stupid, and in part because she was afraid he might tell her something she didn't want to hear. "Hi, Dad." She pulled her house key out of her pocket and opened the door. "This is Ashton. Ashton, my father, Terrence Zemanski." She held him a smile. "And you remember Jazz, Dad?"
Her father kept his distance from the Doberman.
"Nice to meet you, Ashton."
He nodded at Jazz, who walked through the open door but stayed close.
"Becca, I'd like to talk to you about a few things."
He looked from the dog to Ashton and back.
"Maybe out here, because of my allergies."
"I'll take Jazz into the backyard," Ashton said.
"Just shout if you need anything."
And he would be there to protect her, she thought, as he closed the door.
"Who's your young man?"
her father asked as he took a seat on the porch steps.
Becca settled next to him. "Ashton is Kit's nephew. He's staying with him and Stacy until he goes to MIT in September."
"Are you two, seeing each other?"
"Yes, Dad. We're dating."
"Oh."
Her father stared at his car.
"I didn't know."
"Mom does. She's fine with it."
She wanted to say more, like if he ever bothered to see her, he might know things about her life. But he didn't care, not anymore. He had Alicia and their new life.
"Okay, then I guess I'll talk to her."
"Whatever."
"Becca, come on. Give me a break. I've been gone for 2 weeks on my honeymoon, and before that I was getting ready for my wedding. I've had stuff to do."
"Right. And before that you were buying a house, and before that you were busy dating, and before that you were moving out and getting settled. It's been 2 years since you left us. 2 years. And you never have time for me."
She stood and glared at him.
"How do you think that makes me feel? You were supposed to help me learn to drive, but you never even showed up. It's not like you have 5 kids and you can say you forgot. There's just me."
He met her gaze and nodded slowly.
"I know. You're right, and I'm sorry."
"You always say that. You tell me over and over again you're sorry, but nothing changes. Mom messes up, but when she apologizes, it means something. At least she tries."
Her father tensed.
"I'd prefer it if you didn't bring your mother into this."
"Why not? She's part of my family, too. She takes care of me."
"I take care of you as well. Who do you think pays for half the things you have?"
Her eyes filled with tears as she hurried up the stairs and grabbed the door handle. "I'm not something you pay for. I'm your kid."
Before she could go inside, her father reached for her.
"I'm sorry." He touched her arm. "Becca, that came out wrong. Please talk to me. I'm really sorry."
She looked into his blue eyes. They were the same color as hers, a little lighter than her mom's. She wanted to bolt, but told herself that wouldn't fix anything. "You keep saying it," she whispered. "I wish you'd stop."
"Me too. Please give me another chance. I swear I won't let you down. I love you, Becca. You're my daughter, and you will always mean the world to me."
More than Alicia? Only she recognized the danger of asking that particular question. She had a bad feeling she wouldn't much enjoy the answer. "Okay. I will, but you have to promise not to blow me off again.
Cross my heart. We'll have dinner together next week. That's what I came by to say. That I miss you and want us to spend some time together. So, dinner, does that work?
She hesitated before nodding slowly. Sure. He hugged her and kissed the top of her head.
I'll text you a date and time.
She nodded. He walked to his car, waved, and was gone. For a second, she just stood there, willing herself to believe everything was going to be okay between them. That he got it and everything would work out. Only he'd broken promises so many times. She wasn't sure she still had the faith to believe in him. 1 week after leaving the hospital, Stacy couldn't believe how much she appreciated and admired her mother. Bunny had always been a ridiculous figure in her life. Even as a child, she'd been dismissive of all the things her mother knew how to do. But after being home with Jewel for 7 incredibly long days, Stacy knew her mom was more than amazing. She was a hero. The house was chaos. No reading, no books, no videos had prepared her for the keening sound that was her daughter's cry. Worse, every cry sounded exactly the same. There was no difference between Jewel Ray being hungry or needing her diaper changed or wanting to be burped. The adults were expected to figure out what was wrong and fix it. Unbelievably, sometimes she seemed to cry for no reason. None. There was simply nothing wrong, and yet there she was with that sharp, ear-piercing scream, tormenting them all. While Stacy and Kit looked at each other in alarm, Bunny clucked and murmured and sang until J.W., as they'd taken to calling her, was quiet again. Bunny had skills and patience and an unnatural ability to exist on practically no sleep. And the most shocking thing of all? She said J.W. was an easy baby who rarely cried. How was that possible? If J.W. was one of the good ones, how had the species survived? Wouldn't other mothers have either run away or refused to have more children? Stacy finished cleaning the kitchen. She'd already eaten and showered and dressed. She liked to keep busy so as to avoid J.W. as much as possible. They wandered through the kitchen. I don't know how you do it, Stacy told her dog. It's a nightmare. They gave her a calming look, as if saying it would get better. After all, her puppies were already weaned and being adopted. In a couple more days, Bay would be an empty nester and life was good. It's not like that for me, Stacy told her. Kit and I are going to have J.W. for the next 18 years. Bay wagged her tail. Easy for you to say. For some reason, Bay wasn't bothered by the baby's cries, nor was Ashton. He'd already mastered feeding and had no problem with diapers, regardless of their contents. Like Bunny, he had an ability to calm J.W. and soothe her back to sleep. Stacy might be able to help people with debilitating diseases, but when it came to her own daughter, she was useless and preferred to stay out of the way. She was about to retreat to her bedroom to check her work email when Bunny cornered her in the kitchen. J.W. needs to be fed, her mother told her. Stacy hoped she didn't look as terrified as she felt. You can do it, her mother sighed. I'll prepare the bottle. You go get her. Stacy wanted to tuck her hands behind her back and refuse. She wanted to say it was Kit's turn, only it wasn't. And he'd gone to school to finish up some paperwork for the end of the semester. He'd mentioned going to lunch with a couple of his friends, and Bunny had encouraged him, no doubt because he was a man. J.W. began to whimper in her crib. Stacy tried not to wince as she walked down the hall and into her daughter's room. The nursery decor had turned out well, she thought. The cool gray walls had just a tint of pink to them, which went nicely with the cream-colored furniture. Cheerful prints hung on the wall, and Kit was talking about painting some kind of mural. But all that faded in the background as Stacy approached the crib. Fear clawed at her throat, making it difficult for her to breathe. Adrenaline triggered her fight-or-flight response, and she had no intention of fighting. Just a baby, she chanted softly to herself. Just a baby, just a baby. Somewhere she'd read those words were supposed to help, the assumption being a baby wouldn't judge. Stacy had yet to find the words the least bit comforting. J.W. lay on her back, tightly swaddled in a blanket, her eyes closed, her mouth opened as if she were going to start crying for real. Panic joined fear. Stacy hurried close and wrung her hands as she said, It's okay. I'm here and your grandmother is just in the kitchen. J.W. opened her eyes. Stacy knew that her daughter's vision was still blurry, And there was no way she was reacting to Stacy's voice directly, so it was all circumstantial that J.W. stopped whimpering at that exact moment. But it was gratifying, nonetheless.
"Hi," Stacy whispered. "I'm your mom. Your dad is going to be much better than me, but he's out right now. I'm sorry about that. More sorry than J.W. would ever know. I need to pick you up and feed you. Your grandmother has you on a schedule. Everything I've read said schedules are important, and I can support that. Your cooperation would be appreciated." J.W. began to cry.
All right, it was obviously too soon for reasoning, Stacy thought as she sucked in a breath, then bent over to pick up her daughter. Despite several lessons in the hospital and Bunny showing her over and over again, Stacy still had trouble getting her hands and arms in the right position. Plus, even while swaddled, J.W. tended to move. Stacy couldn't imagine the horror of trying to bathe her. As far as she was concerned, Kit could deal with that. She cradled her daughter the way she'd been taught and slowly walked over to the rocking chair. After sitting down, she got J.W. in position, just as Bunny appeared with a bottle. Stacy tested the temperature of the formula. Her mother would have done that already, but Bunny would lecture her if she didn't do it herself. Then she pressed the bottle to J.W.'s tiny mouth and hoped her daughter would take the meal. There was a second of nothing. Then J.W. opened her mouth and latched onto the bottle. Stacy relaxed.
"See,"
her mother said, "you're doing just fine." Stacy thought maybe fine was stretching it, but she allowed herself to relax a little. J.W. drank steadily while Stacy held her and slowly rocked back and forth. This wasn't so bad, she told herself, and tried to believe it. It wasn't that she didn't care about her daughter. It was that she was ill-equipped to deal with her. Babies frightened her, especially her own. She felt inadequate and helpless, not emotions she enjoyed. Ashton and Bay wandered in just before J.W. finished her bottle. He sat cross-legged on the floor, and Bay flopped next to him. Seconds later, the last remaining puppy raced in and threw himself at his mom.
"You're getting it," Ashton said as J.W. finished the bottle.
He leaned over and grabbed a small towel from the changing table, then held out his hands for the baby.
"I wish..."
Stacy glanced toward the door and lowered her voice. "This is a nightmare. I can't do this for the next 18 years. I can't." Ashton grinned as he shifted J.W. into position, up against his chest and shoulder, then began to gently pat her back.
"You don't have to. From what I hear, she'll be eating solid food by at least 5 years old. So that's 13 years of no bottle feeding."
"You think you're funny."
"I am funny."
Stacy glared at him but didn't speak. J.W. burped twice. Ashton kept her in position for a few more minutes.
"I heard from my mom again," he said.
Stacy stared at him, trying to read his mood. "Are you okay?"
"No, but I'm dealing. She wanted money again, and I told her no again. I said that I loved her and wanted her to get better, but I wasn't going to help her buy drugs. She started screaming at me, so I told her I was going to have to let her go until she wants to talk to me because I'm her son, and not just to get money."
"What did she say?"
He looked away. "Nothing I want to repeat."
"I'm sorry."
"Me too. I love her, but I can't let her drag me down."
There was something about his voice. She stared closely and wondered if he was crying. Did men his age cry? Kit almost never did, although he had teared up the night he'd proposed, and again when she'd told him she was pregnant. Stacy sat in the rocking chair, feeling awkward and ridiculous. Ashton had done the right thing. He would be fine. Only... She slid onto her knees, then leaned forward to hug him. He wrapped his free arm around and held on tight. J.W. nestled between them. After a couple of seconds, he drew back and smiled at her.
"Thanks."
She had no idea for what, but decided to take the easy way out.
"You're welcome."
Ashton offered her J.W.
"Want to hold her?"
"Do I have to?"
He grinned.
"Not for me. I'm happy to carry her around forever."
Which was wonderful, except come September, Ashton would be gone. Bunny would leave even sooner. Then Kit and Stacy would be on their own. It was going to be a level of hell she couldn't begin to imagine. Becca couldn't stop smiling. She'd aced her driving test with what she thought was an impressive 91, and now was able to drive her car anytime she wanted, as long as it was okay with her mom and she followed the rules of her provisional license. But still, her mother had suggested a dinner out to celebrate and told her she could invite Ashton. Lucas had joined them, as had Bunny. They were at Pescadores, a local seafood restaurant in town.
"I'm so proud of you. I'm ordering myself a glass of champagne," Bunny declared, her smile impish. "Although part of the celebration is that Kit and Stacy are home alone with the baby for the first time. I suspect I'll be getting a lot of texts."
Harper shook her head. "Mom, don't. You know it's terrifying to have an infant in the house. You must have been scared when you first had me."
"Don't get in the way of my fun. I've earned it."
Becca's mom ordered a glass of red wine while Lucas had a scotch. Becca and Ashton each got a soda.
"School's out. You have your license and a new job," Lucas said, grinning at Becca. "It's pretty good to be you."
"It is. I'm excited about the summer. I've got a lot going on."
Harper leaned toward her mother. "Did Becca tell you she's getting Jazz certified as a therapy dog? She's going to take her to the memory unit at your retirement community."
"She did tell me, and I think it's wonderful."
Bunny smiled.
"You can come visit me when you're done with your volunteer work, so I'll get to see a lot more of you."
Harper caught Becca's gaze and gave her a sympathetic glance. Becca smiled. She wouldn't mind seeing her grandmother a little more, but stopping by every time she went over with Jazz would be difficult. Of course, Bunny was super busy with her friends, so maybe she wouldn't always have time. Lucas said something, and her mom leaned close to hear what it was. As Becca watched, Lucas touched her mom's arm. It was no big deal, just a light brush of his fingers, but there was something about it that made her feel funny. Like her stomach was upset, but different. She told herself she was acting crazy. Only when her mom straightened and saw Becca looking at them, she got the strangest look on her face, like she'd been caught doing something wrong. Becca felt her mouth drop open as she stood up.
"You're dating!"
Everyone stared at her and she blushed. She didn't know what to think or say or do, but somehow she knew this was all Lucas's fault. He was supposed to be her friend, not her mom's. Everything about this was wrong.
"Becca," Ashton began, but she shook her head, then turned and ran out of the restaurant.
When she got to the parking lot, she realized she didn't have anywhere to go. She'd come with her mom and Lucas. Ashton had brought Bunny. She could walk home, but the house was far, and she would feel stupid the entire way. She pulled her phone out of her pocket. She and Jordan were supposed to be friends again. Maybe Jordan could pick her up, or...
"Becca, I'm sorry."
She put her phone back in her pocket and started to walk away from her mother, weaving between parked cars.
"I'm not talking to you."
"Becca, please. I'm wearing heels, and I'm going to hurt myself." Becca slowed, then turned. Her mother walked over to her, her mouth turned down at the corners. They were between a Mercedes SUV and a Lexus sedan. "A lot of people in Mischief Bay have money," she said, folding her arms across her chest.
"Yes, they do. But not us."
Her mother gave her a slight smile.
"We are more in the average income range."
Her mother drew in a breath.
"I feel like an idiot, not just because we're talking out here like this, but because I didn't realize how much you'd grown up. I treated you like a kid, and you're not. I should have told you about Lucas."
"So you are dating him?" Her mom hesitated.
"We're seeing each other."
Her tone was cautious.
"What does that mean? What aren't you telling me? Are you getting married?"
"What?
No, God, no, Becca, it's Lucas. He's a really nice man, and I enjoy his company, and yes, we're seeing each other. But it's not anything more than that. Let's all think about his last girlfriend and the one before, and the one before that. Which one of these isn't like the other?"
"Because you're... Please don't say old, I beg you." Becca held in a smile.
"So it's just temporary?"
"Yes. I'm getting my dating feet wet again, so to speak, and he's... Well... I'm not completely sure what he's doing with me. For now, it's nice."
"Why didn't you tell me?"
"I honestly don't know. It was a knee-jerk reaction because I know it's temporary, and I don't want you to think I'm sleazy or anything. Plus, he's the first guy I've seen since the divorce, and that's weird."
Becca wondered if they were having sex, then shuddered at the thought.
No way she was asking that question. Parental sex was just not supposed to happen under any circumstances. I was keeping the secret because of me, not because of you, her mother added. I hope you can understand. There was something in those last words. Becca groaned. Because I didn't tell you about Ashton? Did I say that? You didn't have to. Mom! Her mother linked arms with her, and they started back toward the restaurant. Maybe it's a thing with the women in our family. Maybe we all keep romantic secrets. Harper grimaced. God, I hope that's not true. If it is, your grandmother has a secret man in her life, too. Grandma's too old to want a boyfriend. Her mom grinned. Let's see how you feel about that when you're her age. I can't imagine it at all. You should enjoy being young. It goes fast. Her mom stopped walking and faced her. Becca, I really am sorry. I know. You can stop saying that. I will. It's just we're finally back talking and I don't want to mess that up. You didn't. I promise. Good. Her mom hugged her. I love you, sweet girl. I love you too, Mom. And if Lucas breaks your heart, I'll tell Ashton to beat him up for you. I couldn't ask for anything more. They looked at each other and began to laugh. Then together went back in to dinner. Chapter 29 Harper watched the clock, waiting 5 full minutes past the time when she knew Terrence would be in his office, then dialed his private number. After a busy morning dealing with clients, she was feeling productive, empowered, and a little bit smug about her latest sexual encounter with Lucas. The things that man could do to her body with just a few well-placed kisses. It was damned impressive.
Hello?
The male voice startled her for a second, and she had to push away the erotic memories to remember who was on the other end of the phone. Terrence, it's Harper. I want to talk to you about Becca.
What about her? Is she okay?
If you're asking if she's been in an accident or fallen out a window, then yes, she's fine. If you want to know how she feels about having you as her father, then she's not so great.
Damn it, Harper. I don't have time for this.
I couldn't be more clear on that, she said, interrupting. But that doesn't matter. What does matter is your daughter also knows it. You came by to see her. You told her she was important to you. You said you wanted to spend time with her and made her trust you all over again, and then you disappeared. She didn't care that her voice rose with every word until she was shouting at him. You are the lowest life form ever. What is wrong with you? She's your kid. You're supposed to love her, and if you can't manage that with your selfish asshole heart, then at least pretend for her sake. She's nearly 17. Give it a year and then turn your back on her.
You don't know what you're talking about, he began.
You couldn't be more wrong. Were you or were you not here 10 days ago telling her you wanted to have her over to dinner?
Yes, but...
Did you or did you not promise to text her and invite her over?
Yes, but...
Did you or did you not forget to do it? Or not mean it in the first place? My God, Terrence, you're breaking her heart. Is it fun for you? Is it for sport?
I don't need this shit.
Becca doesn't need your shit either, but you're her father. Grow a pair and do the right thing. There was a long silence. Harper was determined to wait him out and hopefully make him squirm and see that what he was doing was hurting their daughter. Becca had tried to play it cool, but Harper had seen the truth, that she wanted to spend time with him.
I'll get in touch with her, Terrence said at last.
Whatever you do, don't lead her on. The divorce was only supposed to mean you and I weren't together anymore, not you and Becca.
You think I don't know that?
You're not acting like you do. She loves you, Terrence. You're her dad. It would be nice if you acted like it.
I have to go.
With that, he hung up. Harper tossed the phone on her desk and leaned back in her chair. Had he always been like this? Was she finally seeing who he really was? Except for Becca, she wasn't sure it mattered. He'd moved on and she'd moved on. Funny how when she tried to remember what she'd seen in him, she couldn't. They'd met through mutual friends at a party and had hit it off right away. He'd been a couple of years older and nearly done with his bachelor's degree, while she'd been in her first year of college. a year she'd never finished because she dropped out to get a job so she could help put Terrence through podiatry school. She'd been so sure he was the one, so sure she would love him forever, and now she honestly couldn't say why she'd married him. She supposed their lies had doomed them from the start, her getting pregnant without telling him, his getting a vasectomy without telling her, his cheating. Maybe if they'd tried harder, they could have worked things out. Looking back, she had to admit she was glad they hadn't. The divorce had been hard, and she'd made a lot of mistakes, but over the past few months, she'd grown so much as a person. Her business was thriving. She and Dean could barely keep up with the work, and except for Terrence, things were good with her daughter. Even Bunny moving out had been for the best. Harper glanced at the clock and realized that while it was fun to pat herself on the back for her accomplishments, time was ticking, and her to-do list was probably 18,000 items long. She and Dean spent the rest of the day scheduling clients' work. They'd each signed up for an escrow closing class at the community college, through the continuing education department, so only a single Saturday. They were concerned that wasn't going to be detailed enough, so Dean was looking into online real estate licensing programs. If they weren't too expensive, they would discuss if he should take the whole program, giving them a clearer understanding of what they could do to help Tanya. There were a lot of real estate agents in the area, and if things worked out with her, they could easily expand. Becca got home at her usual time, her new friend Shara in tow. The two teens took their dogs out back and began to practice agility. Thor loped alongside the other dogs, probably in solidarity, Harper thought. Dean headed out at 4, and somewhere close to 5, Lucas let himself into the house.
"Hey,"
he said as he walked into the family room. "Hey, yourself." He crossed to her and put his hands on her shoulders as he looked into her eyes. He often did that, studying her face as if wanting to assure himself everything was as it should be. Or maybe that was simply her imagination working overtime. Maybe he was thinking she was just so old, but he would deal with it because it wasn't as if she could grow younger. The thought made her smile, which had him asking,
"What's so funny?"
"I'm proud of how well you're dealing with my ancientness." He kissed her.
"I'm an exceptional human being."
"You are." He wrapped his arms around her and held her close. She closed her eyes and breathed in the scent of him, the heat from his body. How good she felt when he was around.
"Did you rip Terrence a new one?"
he asked lightly, still hugging her. "I did." He yammered and swore he was going to do better. She drew back and looked at Lucas. "You know I don't care for myself."
"You're worried about Becca." "Hell, I'm worried about Becca. That jerk doesn't deserve to be her father."
His words were nearly as fierce as his tone. Somewhere deep in her chest, she felt a tightening. Nothing unpleasant. More of a warm feeling that he was someone she could trust with pretty much anything. Her work, her daughter, her heart. "Want some coffee?" she asked, stepping away and turning toward the kitchen.
"It's a little late in the day."
"Oh, right. How about a glass of wine?" She didn't care what she offered. She only knew she had to keep moving, because to not stay in motion meant she was going to have to deal with what she'd just realized. In a way, she wasn't sure if she should laugh, cry, throw up, or run screaming into the ocean. Somewhere between orgasms, she'd fallen for Lucas. What had started as easy and fun had turned serious, at least for her.
"You okay?"
he asked, following her. She turned and offered what she hoped was a bright, reassuring smile. "Never better. I'm empowered by telling off Terrence. I think I should take up karate or something." Lucas studied her for a second, then smiled.
"I'd pay money to see that."
"Interesting. Let me work up a proposal and we'll take it from there." He chuckled, and she reached for a bottle of wine. The crisis had been averted. At least for now. Becca paused for a full 1-2 count at the stop sign before driving through the intersection. She was driving in her car, by herself, for only the third time ever. She was both scared and excited, and wanted to do a little dance in her seat, but that would mean taking her attention off what she was doing, and she couldn't. She turned onto Sepulveda and headed north, toward Hermosa Beach, where her dad lived with Alicia. He'd surprised her by texting her and inviting her to dinner. After their last conversation, she thought maybe he'd changed, But then he'd totally disappeared, and once again, she'd been forced to see he didn't care about her at all. His text had really surprised her, and even though she told herself he hadn't changed, and she was dumb if she trusted him, she couldn't help hoping he would want to spend more time with her. Sometimes Becca wondered if maybe her dad hadn't wanted children at all. She knew her parents had been married for a while before her mom got pregnant, so it wasn't like they'd had to get married, but still. In her heart, she wasn't sure what her dad thought about her. He'd always been kind of not there, but things had gotten worse after the divorce, and once he'd met Alicia, it was like she didn't exist anymore. Except for the trip up to Grass Valley, she hadn't spent more than a few hours with him in the past year. She turned left and drove toward the water. Her dad's house was about 4 blocks from the beach. Parking was impossible, but he'd promised to leave the tiny driveway empty for her to use. She pulled into it, careful to ease her car all the way up to the garage door, then turned off the engine and took a breath. She'd done it. Maybe in a few weeks she would be ready to go on the freeway by herself. She was smiling at the thought when she knocked on the front door. Alicia answered almost right away. Her new stepmother looked at her, sighed, then called, "She's here," before walking away without inviting Becca in. Becca hesitated, not sure what she was supposed to do. Did she go in, wait outside? Before she could decide, her dad appeared.
"Hi, Becca."
He held open the door, then hugged her when she walked inside.
"The drive okay?"
"It was. Thanks for letting me park in the driveway."
"No problem. You'll give the hang of parallel parking when you've had more practice."
She started to say she was going to ask Lucas to give her more lessons, then hesitated. Her mom and Lucas were dating now, so was it okay to talk about him? She groaned softly. Parents divorcing, dating, and remarrying was complicated. They should be more sure before they got married in the first place.
"Come on upstairs," her dad said. "We're going to eat on the rooftop patio. I'm barbecuing."
Her dad's house was typical for Hermosa Beach. Tall, skinny houses were squeezed onto tiny lots, so houses went up rather than out. Only the garage was on the street level. There was a half-staircase, then a bedroom, another half-staircase to a second bedroom and laundry room. The third level was the biggest, with a kitchen, dining area, and living room. The fourth level had another small bedroom and a rooftop deck with a view of the ocean. She and her dad went into the kitchen. Becca didn't see Alicia anywhere. The other woman had never liked her much, and Becca had no idea why. She sure couldn't be mad because Becca's dad spent too much time with his daughter. Her dad walked to the refrigerator and pulled out a diet soda.
"Ice?" he asked as he got out a glass.
"Sure, thanks." He poured her a drink, then picked up a glass of white wine before motioning for her to go into the living room. When they were seated on the long sectional, he angled toward her.
"I'm glad you were able to stop by. I want to talk to you about something."
Becca put her drink on the coffee table, careful to use a coaster, then wiped her hands on her jeans. She didn't like how her dad was looking at her or the tone of his voice. He was going to tell her something bad. She could feel it. Her father cleared his throat.
"I don't know if your mom ever mentioned the reason we didn't have more children."
"What? No. Why would we talk about that?" She'd always accepted being an only child. There had been plenty of kids to play with on the street, and her mom was always there for her, so it hadn't been a problem.
"Oh, I thought she might have..."
He paused.
"I had an operation, so I couldn't have more children."
"Dad, gross. Stop."
"I'm only telling you that because shortly after Alicia and I started dating, I had the surgery reversed."
His gaze grew pointed.
"I can have children now."
"I get it," she began, then stopped as an unpleasant possibility seeped into her brain. "She made you do it, didn't she? Alicia. She wouldn't marry you if she couldn't have kids with you." Her father looked away.
"Becca..."
he began, his tone strained, as if there was more, as if... "No! No! You can't! It's going to change everything. It's going to make it worse. You're not around now. With a baby?" She felt her eyes burning and started for the stairs.
"Becca, wait. I'm sorry. I didn't think it would happen so fast. I thought we'd have more time to get things right between us."
She stopped on the landing and glared at him. "A baby is going to change everything, and you know it.
Becca, wait. Don't go. Stay for dinner.
Why? Alicia doesn't even speak to me. She doesn't want me here, and you don't either. I don't know why you wanted me to come over at all. You could have just texted me.
She ran down the rest of the stairs and out to her car. Once she'd started the engine, she thought for a second about where she was going to go. Not home. She wasn't ready to tell her mom about the baby, and there was no way she could get past her without her mom knowing something was wrong. She checked the traffic before carefully backing out of the driveway, then headed back to Mischief Bay. 25 minutes later, she parked in front of a small house with a well-kept lawn. She'd only been here once before, when her mom had dropped off something. She wasn't even sure why she'd come, although it might have something to do with having nowhere else to go. She got out and walked to the front door. It opened before she could knock. Lucas smiled at her.
What's up, kid? Everything okay?
She burst into tears. Without saying anything, he pulled her inside and wrapped his arms around her. She had no idea how long she cried or what he had to be thinking. He probably thought she was a pain in the ass, but she didn't care. She couldn't. Everything hurt too much. Her heart felt like it had been beat up and the rest of her ached. Finally, she was able to breathe without crying and stepped back. Lucas brought her into the living room and pointed to the sofa, then disappeared down a short hall. He was back seconds later with a tissue box, which he handed to her before sitting on the coffee table and studying her.
What?
He asked. She blew her nose a couple of times and tried to speak. More sobs clogged her throat and blinded her. She covered her face with her hands and tried to tell herself it didn't matter. Only it did. It had for a long time, and now it was going to be awful forever. Alicia's pregnant, she managed to say. She's going to have a baby, and my dad had to have an operation. And he did it, and now she's pregnant. She blew her nose again and wiped her face. He wasn't there before, and now he's never going to be there. I've seen Aunt Stacy and Uncle Kit with J.W., and she's all that matters. Babies get everything. I'm just some kid he used to care about. Lucas moved to the sofa and put his arm around her. She turned toward him and sobbed into his shoulder. I hate him. I'll hate him forever.
I know, kid.
She looked up.
Aren't you going to tell me it's wrong to say I'll hate my dad? Aren't you going to tell me it's going to be all right? That he still loves me and of course he'll be there for me?
He tucked her hair behind her ear, then kissed her forehead before sighing.
Would you believe me if I did?
No, but adults do it all the time.
I'm sorry about your dad. I do think he loves you a lot, but he's not handling the situation as well as he could.
She sniffed. That's it?
That's all I've got.
She leaned against him again as she thought about his words. They hurt, but not in a mean way, and in her heart, she knew he was right about all of it.
It hurts a lot, she whispered.
I know. It's going to hurt for a long time.
She sat up and glared at him.
You're not very good at comforting people, you know that?
So I've been told. Want to go get something to eat?
She nodded. I need to wash my face first, and I might cry during dinner.
I've dealt with worse.
She got up. Thanks for listening.
No problem. I'm here for you, Becca. No matter what happens, you can count on me.
Thank you. She headed for the bathroom. Funny how she didn't believe anything her dad said, but she totally trusted Lucas. He would be there for her, and at least that was something. Thursday morning, Harper glanced at the caller ID and groaned. It's Kathy. Dean looked appropriately outraged.
You tell that bitch we don't serve her kind.
Harper grinned. You weren't even here for the infamous party bag incident. And the truth is, I only have myself to blame. So there. She hit the speaker button on the phone. Hello, this is Harper.
Hi, Harper, it's Kathy. I haven't talked to you in forever.
How are things? Busy, incredibly busy. How can I help you, Kathy?
I need some gift bags for a party, and this is a rush job. It's 50 bags, and I need them by next Thursday. It's a really big deal for me, so I know you'll make it work. Won't you, hon?
Dean rolled his eyes and mouthed, tell her to pound sand.
I'm afraid I'm booked up for the next few weeks, Harper said instead.
What?
You can't be. Harper, I know you were upset about the order before, and Maybe I shouldn't have undercut your price so much, but come on. You said you wanted to be paid $25 an hour. I think that's a ridiculous amount, but maybe for this one project. That price doesn't include rush work, Harper told her. To fit you in, I'd have to move some other projects and potentially upset regular clients. There would be a premium for me to do that.
Let me guess, Kathy said, her voice thick with anger.
It will be amazingly close to what you wanted me to pay you last time. I hadn't thought of that, but it's a start. Harper took a breath. Kathy, I find the work I do for you a lot of fun. The bags are always beautiful, and I enjoy the challenge. But like everyone else, I have to make a living. You've always wanted to undercut my prices. You expect me to use the most expensive supplies, take a lot of time making everything perfect, and then not pay for it. I'm unwilling to do that anymore. What I charge is what I charge. If you're not happy with that, then I encourage you to go elsewhere.
You're going to be sorry you treated me this way?
Actually, what I'm sorry for is how I let you treat me. I take responsibility for it. You were trying to get away with something, and I let you. Just know it won't happen again. Now, would you like to talk about the bags?
Go to hell. Kathy hung up.
Harper pushed the button to end the call, then wondered if she was going to regret losing the client. For a second, there was a whisper of fear, but then her overriding sense was one of satisfaction.
You go, girl!
Jean held up his hand for a high five.
You were polite, firm, and told her what for. I love it. Plus, I have no idea where we would find time to make any bags she would want. You showed me the pictures of the ones you did. Lordy. There had to be at least a half hour in each of them.
It was a lot, she agreed. Mom? Harper turned and saw Becca in the doorway to her office. Her daughter looked pale and upset. Harper touched her forehead. She felt cool and her eyes were clear. What's wrong, sweetie? Is your stomach upset? Do you think you ate something funny at your dad's last night? Becca had gotten home close to 9 and had taken Jazz for a walk. This morning she'd been up and out early. Harper had barely seen her. Her daughter's eyes filled with tears. I'm not sick. It's something else. Fear twisted Harper's stomach. A million possibilities battled for dominance. Pregnancy, drugs, rape, a car accident, bullying.
That's my cue to go run some errands, Dean said, walking past them.
He patted Becca on the shoulder.
Feel better, little one.
Becca gave him a faint smile. When he was gone, Harper drew Becca to the chair by the desk. They both sat down and Harper took her daughter's hand in hers. Tell me, baby, whatever it is, we'll figure it out together. I promise. I'm here. Tell me. Becca squeezed her fingers before pulling back and staring at Harper intently. Tears spilled down her cheeks. I'm sorry, she whispered. Mom, I'm sorry. I didn't know how to tell you. The fear grew until it filled her chest and made it impossible to breathe. Becca wasn't sick. Harper knew that much. She never went to the doctor by herself, and she was under 18, so the office would have notified her. If she wasn't sick, then everything else could be fixed. Just say it, honey. It's okay.
Alicia's pregnant.
Harper mentally scrolled through her daughter's friends, trying to come up with an Alicia, only to realize her daughter meant Terrence's new wife.
Dad told me last night. He said he had an operation so we could have kids again, and she's pregnant.
Becca began to cry.
I know it's going to be bad for you, and I want to talk about that. But what about me? He's never there now, and he's never going to be there again. He's only going to care about the baby.
Harper stood and pulled Becca to her feet, then held her tight.
Oh, Becca, I'm so sorry you're having to deal with this. I wish I could change things. I can't believe he told you all that. It's awful.
It was gross, her daughter admitted.
I was mad and hurt and I didn't know what to say.
What did you do?
I left. Good for you.
Harper brushed away her tears. I know I'm supposed to tell you not to run from your problems, but this time it was the right decision. What were you supposed to say? And then to sit and have dinner with you-know-who? No way.
You're not upset?
Harper tried to figure out what she was feeling. Regret, anger, disappointment. Not for myself, she said, figuring it out as she went.
I was mad when your dad got the vasectomy.
He didn't tell me until I began to wonder why I didn't get pregnant again. You were easy.
Please, let's not talk about that.
Harper smiled at her. Okay, I won't, except to say I loved having you so much. I wanted more children. Your dad finally came clean. I guess it hurts a little that he didn't want more children with me, but I'm okay with it now. I have you, and that's the most important thing in the world.
She hugged her daughter again. What matters now is you.
I never want to see him again. He's awful and I hate him.
You don't hate him. Becca groaned.
Fine. I don't hate him, but I almost hate him.
You're hurt and you feel betrayed. That's going to take some time to deal with.
Her daughter took a step back and glared at her. You're going to say I still have to see him.
I am.
Even after this?
Yes. He's your father, and when you're 18, you can make your own decisions about seeing him or not. Until then...
Harper thought about all Becca had been through.
You don't have to get in touch with him if you don't want to. You can wait for him to contact you. If he wants to set something up, you'll go.
And if he doesn't show?
A very likely occurrence, Harper thought grimly. If your dad blows you off again, I'll talk to him. If you want, I'll tell him you aren't willing to see him, until he can keep his promises.
Becca's eyes widened. What if he gets mad? What if he wants to take you to court?
We'll deal.
I love you, Becca. I want you to be happy, and I'm going to keep you safe. I'm more than capable of standing up to your dad for you.
Oh, Mom.
Becca threw herself at Harper and squeezed so tight, Harper couldn't breathe. But it was a good pain. The best pain. It came from love.
Chapter 30.
Stacy tried not to act too excited about her first day back at work. She knew that Kit was nervous about staying home with J.W. by himself. Bunny had moved out nearly a week before, leaving the family on their own. And while Kit had taken over the bulk of caring for their daughter, Stacy had always been around to help. She knew he would be perfectly fine. Ashton was due home from work in the late morning, and he was always so good with J.W., and Bunny had promised to drop by to make sure all was well. Despite that, he looked a little panicked as Stacy fixed her breakfast, and she was doing her best not to break into song at the thought of getting out of the house. Her body was recovering, as expected. She'd been surprised at how sore she'd been, and how not nursing had caused its own kind of pain. That was better now, and she could move around without discomfort. She could also hold J.W. and feed her without feeling totally inept, although she preferred for Kit to take care of the baby. Stacy was happy in the more traditional male role, being on the fringes and observing rather than participating. Perhaps when J.W. was older, she would be more involved. Kit finished feeding their daughter, then put her on his shoulder to burp her. Stacy finished her breakfast and put the dirty dishes in the dishwasher.
"How are you feeling?" Kit asked. "Any regrets?"
The question confused her.
"About?"
"Going back to work."
He turned his head and kissed J.W.'s ear.
"I'll admit that there's a ton I don't know and the responsibility is overwhelming. But I don't think I could leave her. Not for anything."
Kit had always been so loving and supportive, so she was unprepared for what seemed to be a blatant dig at her lack of maternal feelings. The need to lash out at him, striking him harder and faster, nearly annihilated her. Only years of rational thought kept her in check. Instead of saying something hurtful, she walked out of the kitchen and back to their bedroom, Bay at her side. She straightened the bedspread and brushed her teeth. To be honest, there was no reason to linger there. She should collect her things and leave for the office. At least there she was safe. Only she couldn't seem to make herself go. Kit had hurt her. Kit never hurt her. What was going on?
I'm sorry.
She finished rinsing out her mouth and turned to find Kit in the doorway, J.W. still in his arms.
I didn't mean that the way it came out.
His mouth twisted.
I was trying to reassure you that I'd be fine.
You think there's something wrong with me. You think I shouldn't want to go back to work. We're near a breakthrough. I do important work.
I never wanted to be a mother.
Only she couldn't say that. She'd agreed to have a baby with Kit because she loved him. The fact that she hadn't thought through the consequences, hadn't realized an infant was more than a theory, was her own fault.
Stacy, there's nothing wrong with you.
I know you love J.W. Your way is different, but it's no less valid.
I don't believe you. You're disappointed.
You're projecting whatever you think you're supposed to be onto me. I love you exactly as you are, and I'm grateful you're comfortable with me staying home with our daughter.
His eyes were so kind, she thought absently. She'd noticed that from the first. That and the way his face and body appealed to her sexually. I know what people are thinking, she admitted, what they're going to say about me. I don't like it.
They've always talked about you. Why is this different?
I don't know, but it is.
He moved close and kissed her. You'll figure it out. Now go on. You have a disease to ass kick.
She nodded and left. On the short drive to the lab, she did her best to lock away her unsettled feelings. She'd always been able to focus completely on work. Today shouldn't be any different. She parked in her usual spot and made her way to her office. Lexi was waiting. Her assistant grinned. You're here. I have expected you to call and say you were extending your leave, but I'm so glad you didn't. The place is falling apart. Max had been haunting me for the past 3 days, begging me to give him your home number. His group has hit a snag and they need your help. Carl has been a bear. Your team has made some excellent progress, but they have a few questions to run past you, and I've been holding it all together with rubber bands and a prayer. Stacy stored her bag. Being back felt right, she thought happily. This was her world and where she belonged. Here she was needed, respected, and making a difference. We need to prioritize, she told Lexi. I've already scheduled everyone. This is the order I'd thought you'd want to see them. She handed Stacy a list. Stacy scanned it and nodded. It was barely 8 o'clock. None of the meetings started until 10:30. I appreciate the chance to go through my emails and read up on the logs, she said, then grinned. Is there coffee?
A giant pot of it.
Want me to bring you a cup? I'd love that. Thank you. Stacy got right to work. She read the summaries on the progress made, making notes as she went. She finished her first cup of coffee and was on her second, when she started to feel not right. She was too warm. No, she was too hot. She felt a little lightheaded and slightly sick to her stomach. Her chest hurt and her throat was tight, and she had the strangest need to start crying. She sucked in a breath and tried to figure out what was happening. The flu? Some other bug? She pressed a hand to her stomach to try to figure out if she was going to throw up. Did she need to? J.W., she thought desperately. She had to see J.W. Something was wrong. She could feel it down to her bones. She grabbed her backpack and raced out of the building to her car. She drove much faster than the speed limit and made it home in record time, then burst inside, calling out for Kit. Her husband hurried out of the kitchen.
What's wrong?
The baby. Is she okay?
She's sleeping. Stace, what's going on?
Stacy ran past him, down the hall and into J.W.'s room. Sure enough, their daughter lay sleeping soundly, Bay on the comfy dog bed next to her crib, keeping watch as she often did. Stacy hugged herself tight, as if to hold in all the feelings. Kit came up behind her and wrapped his arms around her.
It's okay, he whispered. Everyone is fine, even you.
I don't understand. I just knew something was wrong and I had to get back to see her. I had to. He chuckled.
You missed her.
It wasn't that. It was something else. Something she couldn't explain. He turned her and smiled at her.
Honey, you missed your baby. That's what missing someone feels like.
I thought I was going to throw up.
That could be your hormones getting back to normal. Do you feel okay now?
She nodded. He kissed her again.
It's nice that you miss her. Do you get that?
She didn't, because nothing about what he was saying made sense. I guess.
That was convincing. Missing your child is completely normal. You want to be with her. That's not a bad thing.
It wasn't, she thought. People missed their children all the time. Even the guys at work talked about their kids, the things they'd done together over the weekend and their hopes for the future. It was normal. I missed her, she said, hoping it was true, but not quite daring to believe. I didn't think I would.
I did. Now, get back to work and heal the world.
He hugged her and she breathed in the scent of him, then patted Bay and touched J.W.'s cheek,
before going back to her car and driving to work. Lexi was waiting for her in her office.
"You okay?"
she asked. "The first meeting starts in 10 minutes. You want me to postpone it?"
"No," Stacy told her with a smile. "I missed my baby, so I ran home to see her. I'm back now."
"You're the boss."
Stacy collected her notes and walked toward the conference room. The ache was still there.